When I was in high school, I had a biology teacher that was quite interesting. He loved to do hands-on work. I mean, he may lecture a little bit here, a little bit there, but basically what he wanted us to do was to experience biology firsthand. Anatomy and physiology was his passion. I had him 2 years, biology one, biology two. And I think we went through dissecting an earthworm, a frog, a shark, a pig, a cat, and I might have left something else out. Each system of the different animals were exposed to our investigation. By the time you got through with his class at the end of the year, you knew what made each animal tick. Well, this morning, I want to do some dissecting. I want to find out what makes us tick. I want us to cut open and view the anatomy of one who is heavenly minded and one who is earthly minded. I want you to see what makes you tick. Now, just as a frog has a heart and a human has a heart, it does not make the human a frog or the frog a human. There may be similar characteristics, but they're two totally different animals. Well, a Christian at times acts earthly. A Christian at times desires earthly things. There are plenty examples in the Bible of that happening to God's people, to holy people, righteous people, people that the Holy Spirit commends to us, yet at the same time the Holy Spirit reveals to us that at times they were earthly minded. So just because in this sermon you may hear some things about yourself, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are earthly minded and not heavenly minded. Yet at the same time, we must dissect and cut open and go straight to the heart to find where my heart and where my desires actually lay. Are they in heaven? Are they here on earth? Well, the first thing that we need to look at is that an earthly minded individual, he looks upon the creation as the greatest thing of all. He has a high esteem of the creation. It is his ultimate treasure. He is like Ebenezer Scrooge. He loves to count his gold. He loves to hoard his gold. You may remember Vince Lombardi, who is probably the greatest football coach that we will ever experience. And he said that winning is everything. Well, maybe winning is everything when it comes to football. I'm not going to argue with somebody like Vince Lombardi on the importance of winning. But for the earthly minded individual, winning the things of the earth is all they want. It is everything to them. I remember seeing a bumper sticker one time that read, "He who dies with the most toys wins." You see, this is the motto of the earthly minded man. He lives for the pleasures of this world. And the only sense that he can make out of the creation is that the creation gives him pleasure. And he believes that he who has the most pleasure wins the game. If you would know your heart is bent towards earthly mindedness, ask yourselves, what is your chief goal in life? What is your chief goal in life? Is it to acquire earthly things? Or is the chief goal in your life to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? What do you find pleasure in? What is your goal? What is your interest? Where do you look for happiness? Now, though God made the earth good and He gave it to the church for our good, yet God never made the earth and its pleasures to be the ultimate good. The earth and its pleasures were given as a means to sustain us while we glorified God and enjoyed Him forever. The contrast between an earthly-minded person and a heavenly-minded person is found in the prophecy of Isaac towards his two sons, Jacob and Esau. In Genesis chapter 7, 27, we see the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob. But what is interesting here is the difference between the two. To Jacob, God promises the dew of the earth and the fatness, the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. In other words, the Holy Spirit speaking through the patriarch Isaac says to Jacob, you are going to have the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. In other words, you are going to desire the things of heaven. And like icing on a cake, God is going to give you the blessings of the earth. Isn't that what the scriptures teach about Christians? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth for those who first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So Isaac says to Jacob, God is going to give you the dew of heaven, the blessings of heaven. And on top of that, you're going to get the blessings of the earth. But then Isaac says to Esau, he says, behold, thy dwelling shall be away from the fatness of the earth and away from the dew of heaven from above. Well, what does that mean? It means that Esau is going to seek the things of the earth first, and then low priority will be the things of heaven. Notice for Jacob, you get heaven, and because you get heaven, you're going to get the earth. For Esau, because you desire earthly things, then heavenly things are of low priority. But notice what else Isaac says to Esau. He says that your desires, your dwelling, shall be away from the fatness of the earth and away from the dew of heaven. In other words, because Esau is going to be earthly minded and seek the things of the earth first, he ain't even going to get that. His desires are going to be away from the things of the earth and away from the things of heaven. He will not get the things of the earth ultimately, and he will not get the things of heaven. Esau loses both. He loses the earthly blessing. He loses the heavenly blessing. Because Esau was an earthly minded man. He will seek the things of the earth before he will seek the treasures of heaven. And of course we know in the scriptures the fate of Esau. He was ultimately cursed by God. He lost all blessings from God. He lost all blessings of the earth. For God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now understand that a godly man needs the things of the earth. And understand that God knows that. It is not by coincidence. It is not by accident that right after Jesus says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, but he's then going to preach on, you don't have to worry because God knows what you need. Notice the connection there. Your heavenly Father knows your needs, and he will supply all that you need. The earthly-minded man seeks first the world, but what he seeks, he will ultimately lose. And Jesus says, he who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for me will gain it. What good is it if a man gains the whole world, but loses his soul? That he who seeks his happiness in Jesus Christ, he who seeks his happiness in the triune God, he will gain all things, the treasures of heaven and the blessings of the earth. Second thing we see is that since an earthly minded man will be seeking the dew of the earth before the dew of heaven, then it stands to reason that his thoughts are continually thinking about the things of the earth and not the things of heaven. In other words, you can know where your heart is by understanding what you love. What does Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things that you hold dear, those are the things that you constantly think about, are they not? That which you daydream about will tell you a lot about where your heart is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The writer of the proverb says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. What do you daydream about? What do you find sweet to your mind and to your heart? Are they the things of heaven or the things of earth? The man who is earthly minded spends his days seeking the things of the earth. But the man who desires the dew of heaven says, oh God, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long, and I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And I meditate on your precepts, and I delight in your decrees. The heavenly minded man, in the most deepest chambers of his heart, he's singing love songs to God. You remember when you were in grade school, maybe junior high, maybe even high school, but you had a fixation on a little girl, or maybe a little boy. You loved her. You loved him. And so, when the bell rang to get out of school, what did you do? I can tell you what I did. I went to the bicycle rack and stood there waiting for her to come by. She wasn't in my class. I get to see her maybe out at TE or there in the lunchroom. When that bell rang at 3 o'clock, you could find Greg Hamer waiting at the bicycle rack. So I'm going to talk to her before she goes home. Yeah, we can all relate to that. Why would I do that? Well, in my childish mind, I loved her. I wanted to be around her. I wanted to talk to her. I wanted to look at her. Look what Paul says in our passage from Philippians. He says 6 times in this passage that he wants Jesus Christ. He wants to be around Christ. He wants to look at Christ. He wants to be with Christ. Something that you want terribly bad, you find yourself thinking about that, don't you? Paul's thoughts are on Christ. If you would know if you are earthly minded or heavenly minded, you ask yourself, what do I think on? What do I think on? Do I think on Christ? Do I think on His Word to me? Or do I think on how I can acquire more earthly treasure? Lastly, an earthly minded man can be discovered by his reaction to heavenly treasure. You see, the earthly minded man is earthly minded even in spiritual things. He's like a fish that can only be at home and function in one environment, in the water. You know, if you catch a fish and you put the fish on the ground and you dangle a worm in front of the fish, you know what that fish is going to do? He's going to ignore that worm. Because that's not his environment. But if you put the fish back in the water and you dangle the worm in front of the fish, he'll get it. He'll eat it. He'll bite it. Why? Because the fish is in his environment. When you put an earthly minded man and give him spiritual responsibilities, he doesn't get it. You can take that earthly minded man and give him responsibilities over his wealth. Oh, that's his environment. He'll bite right at it. But he can only deal with spiritual things from a worldly perspective. Once again, let's think about the fish. You put the fish in the water, and he swims, and he swims. And he swims. And he doesn't get tired. It's not a burden to him. Why? Because he's in his element. If you or I jumped in the water, oh, we might swim for a little bit, but eventually we're going to get tired. Why? Because being in the water all the time is not our environment. The fish can function in the water. We cannot. So an earthly minded man can't function with spiritual matters because it's not his environment. Getting up on Sunday morning to attend worship is very tedious to an earthly minded man. He doesn't mind getting up early on Monday through Friday to go to his place of employment to make his money, so that he can get his earthly things. But getting up early to come to church, see, it's not his element. So he will avoid that. Prayer becomes a chore for an earthly minded man. Now he can talk about sports forever and ever and ever. Why? Because, see, he's in his environment. But he cannot speak on spiritual things much. Because, well, it's just not his environment to live in. Bible study. Bible study is really very rare for an earthly minded man. Now you put a TV in front of the earthly minded man and he can spend hours there. To lay out a Bible in front of him, it's not his element. He'll reject it. Nehemiah. There's an interesting story here about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was sent by God to rebuild in Jerusalem. And the scriptures spoke about all the difficulties that Nehemiah and the people had as they tried to rebuild the temple, the place of worship. But yet the work continued. Why did the work continue with such great opposition? Well, the scriptures tell us. Listen, it says, for the people had a mind to do the work. They wanted to do it. They saw the importance of it. Oh, there was great opposition. And even when there wasn't opposition, the work was hard. It was tedious. But they had a mind to do it. Why? Because their mind was on heavenly things and not on earthly things. They desire to honor God with their labor. If a man is earthly minded, he will persevere in his earthly labors. But sooner or later, he will give up on any pursuit of heavenly treasure. Why? Because he doesn't have a mind to do it. His heart's not in it. The parable of the sower and the seed tells us that some of the seed that fell among the thorns initially received the word of God. In Jesus' interpretation of this parable, some of the seed that fell among the thorns immediately sprouted up. And Jesus says, what that means is some of the people that hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But eventually the thorns choked out the seed. And Jesus gives us the interpretation of that by saying that it was the love of the world, the cares of the world, that choked out the word of God from people's lives. Why? Because they were earthly minded. They had a mind to do the things of the earth, but not a mind, a desire to do the things of heaven. The earthly minded man is like a child and a new toy when it comes to spiritual things. Immediately he thinks it's novel, it's something great. But sooner or later that toy is going to be left out in the rain and rust and disintegrate. So it is with the earthly minded man when it comes to pursuing heavenly things. The Apostle James says, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. The Apostle John says, anyone who loves the world does not love God. You can't serve two masters. Oh, where do we find that? It's coming up in the Sermon on the Mount. Immediately after Jesus says, don't store up yourselves treasures on earth. They're all connected, you see. In the story of Ruth and Naomi, Naomi's husband had died, her sons had died. And so Naomi was going to go back to her hometown because she had relatives there, she had friends there, she was all alone, and so she was going to go back to where she had grown up and where people would receive her. She had a daughter-in-law named Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. In other words, she wasn't an Israelite. Naomi tells her, "You go back to your people because I'm going to go back to my people." And Ruth goes, "No. No. Where you go, I will go as well." So Ruth followed her mother-in-law back to Israel. And it's so interesting to see the providential connection here. Because do you know who the great-grandmother of King David was? It's Ruth. Ruth found herself a husband in Israel. And King David was the offspring. Who else was the offspring of Ruth? Jesus Christ. But what I want you to see is the heart. If we were to dissect and open up Ruth to see her true heart, it is found in those words to Naomi, "Where you go, I shall go." What is she saying is, "Your religion, your God, that's my God. That's my religion. That's what I believe. And I will pursue God with all of my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength." The Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul just amazes me. He says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Well, what did Paul have that he profited from? Well, some folks say that by the time he was 18, he had the equivalent of 3 PhDs. He was a smart dude. He had risen to such a status within the Pharisees that he was not simply considered a Pharisee, but a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He was probably rich. He had high status among his peers. But when he came to know Jesus Christ, he put all of that behind him. Because he was heavenly minded. He desired heaven's dew instead of the dew of the earth. He says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." He eagerly awaits a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, it was knowing God in Christ that was his reward. Just as Jesus Christ said to Abraham, "I am your reward." Paul understood that Christ was his reward and that he would pursue Christ above all things. All other things of the earth, Paul considered as a loss. As a loss with the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. He called all his earthly joys, all of his earthly honors, all of his earthly accomplishments pure rubbish or trash next to knowing Jesus Christ. Paul's concept of heaven is inseparably bound up with the person of Jesus Christ. For he says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." It was the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Paul pressed on, persevered against all the persecution and the pain and the hurt. It was the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Paul wanted to experience in its fullness. What about you? Do you have the anatomy of an earthly-minded person or a heavenly-minded person? Are you seeking your purpose and your fulfillment in this life? Or are you forgetting what is behind and are you pressing toward Jesus Christ? Do you hunger to know Christ? Is He your great reward? What makes you tick? Is it a desire for Christ or desire for the things of the earth? Let's pray.